2 Samuel chapter 21, verse number 1. Appreciate you being here this morning on a Saturday. Thanks for coming in. Want you to know that. I appreciate that. It's not just Pastor Weiss the 4th, it's Pastor Weiss the 3rd who appreciates that, and I know God does as well. He's paying attention, glad you're here, because it shows that you want to put in a little extra effort to get closer to Him. I believe that's the reason you're here, at least I hope so. 2 Samuel chapter 21, this message is entitled, and yes, I realize it's not great English, I could give you a longer title, it's horrible English, great concept, it's called Praying About Why. The next one will be as well, today, they're about why. When you have whys in your head, not why should I pray, but why something's happening in your life. 2 Samuel chapter 21, that'll be this one and the next one. Tomorrow's messages, just kind of giving you a heads up, will be praying for. So we're going to pray for certain things tomorrow, talk about that. In the Sunday school hour, praying for boldness. Lord willing, in the morning service, praying for peace. And then the third one in the evening, praying for the rebels. We'll talk about that last. But this is praying about why something is happening. So here's 2 Samuel chapter 21, and I'm supposed to be done at noon, correct? So 2 Samuel 21 and verse number 1. Not going to read the whole chapter for you. Read it when you have time, not playing weird connected dots, you know, bad doctrine. Just trying to read enough to you to get the idea of what's happening here. So 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, "When or what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord?" The Gibeonites said unto him, "We will have no silver nor gold of Paul, of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel." And he said, "What ye shall say, that will I do for you." So he promises something to the Gibeonites that they had been promised something before. David makes a new promise. They answer the king that the man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, "I will give them." Now, in that are children of Saul, but also children that could be children of his best friend, Jonathan. He doesn't want to involve Jonathan in that, because in his mind, Jonathan and Saul are totally different people. They kind of are. Without going through all that detail, I want you to think about that, because there's something else that David does here. So a little bit further down, verses 13 and 14, again, just for time's sake, we're not going to read a ton of it. But he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged, and the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, buried they in the country of Benjamin, in Zelah, in the sepulcher of Kish, his father. And they performed, they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. It actually made him go through the entire weird process. Does that leave you with questions as to why? And again, I'm going to pray here real quickly, but I have to admit, sometimes when God answers a question, he leaves me with 5 more. So I may not ever in this life, because now I see through a glass darkly, then face to face, I may not understand completely why everything happens the way that it does, but I'd rather know, if I could get one thing from God, I'm in good shape or better shape than I was before I knew the one thing. Praying about why things happen, what's going on and why. These are things for us to pray for. Let's have a word of prayer quickly, and then we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity now to be able to dive into your word again. I thank you for everybody that came today and answering our prayers in safety and travel. Lord, I prayed before I headed down from Reedsburg. You keep me safe. You answered that prayer. Didn't really come close to death as far as I tell. Lord, thank you for watching out for me and for these that are here. Please guide us now as we continue in your word. Help us to see characters in scripture. They prayed about why. You gave them answers, things to do. Things worked out. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to think about what happened to David. But then as your word tells us in the New Testament, these things are written for our learning and admonition. So there's something we can learn from this. Otherwise, you wouldn't have wrote it down. It wasn't written for David. He went through it. But we can learn something from it. And I pray that you'd help us to learn what you want us to learn from this story and the other scriptures that we'll look at this morning. Please guide the time. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When we're praying about why, there are some important things for us to think about. Now, in this particular case, and we're going to get back to this, what David is experiencing is a famine that is in the land, that he's currently experiencing right now. There was a famine in the days of David. Wait, that's a famine that's in the days of David that David was not responsible for. It's a famine that was in the days of David that David was not responsible for. So that means it might not be something I did. It could be something somebody did before me. Now, I understand that I could take any of these things too far, and everybody, all the problems that I have are somebody else's fault. Yeah. I could take any of these things too far. You could too. All the problems I have are somebody else's fault.
Right.
That isn't necessarily true. Did David have any trouble of his own? His own firstborn child from Bathsheba died. Why? Praying about why? Why, God? Why did the firstborn child of Bathsheba die? You guys know, right? Because he committed adultery and murdered her husband. Come on! That was David self-inflicted. But that doesn't mean all trouble that came in David's life was because of something he did. Here, there was a famine in the days of David. Who did it affect? David. Who else did it affect? All Israel. Okay, so, but who's responsible for it? A guy that's already dead. Now look, here's the first thing. How does this apply to David? We're going to get into that, but before we do, we're going to get how this applies to David and Israel, how this applies to Madison Baptist Church, how that maybe it would apply to us personally. I want you to think about these things. Hopefully, the Holy Spirit would reveal some things to you. Before we get into that too much, I want you to understand something. You may not, but God does. God cares about history. God cares about history. That's why we have the book. These things are written for our learning and admonition. He cares about history. And what happened in the past does affect today, even if they're dead. That's important for us to remember. Here's a great example of that. Now, the Lord had warned about that. Some of this stuff you guys know. See, God isn't the type to just hold a grudge. Don't think about that. God holds a grudge, and boy, he won't get rid of that grudge until blood is shed. That's not really true. That's not really true. Don't let the devil put that in your head. By the way, okay, even if you wanted to say that, all right, God holds a grudge until blood is shed, the blood of Jesus Christ is already shed. All right, so he paid for your sins, but he does want you to admit your sin. He wants you, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We still got to admit it. It's already paid for. But or even if you wanted to go that far. But I don't want you to think God's up just holding a grudge and can't wait to kill somebody. I don't believe that's the case. But God, who is love and mercy and all those things, God is also just and fair. As a matter of fact, some Old Testament characters use that with God. He doesn't say, for example, in this case, God, aren't you fair? He actually uses this words. I think you've heard this, and I believe it was Abraham. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Because he knows God. He knows the judge of all the earth will do right because he will be right. He will be fair. And then okay, that's Old Testament, Pastor Wise. I know. Okay, how about New Testament? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. It would actually mock God if you didn't reap what you sow. So, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And this concept, why did he say this not only in, okay, one place, Exodus chapter 20, but when he repeats the commandments in Deuteronomy chapter 5, why does he remind them and repeat this in Deuteronomy 5? Look with me quickly at Deuteronomy 5. I'm talking a little fast, got a lot of material to go through. I'm hoping your brain's awake. I'm going to talk fast in the next service too, because you're going to have food in your belly. And just like the disciples falling asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane, yes, after the Passover meal, I'm going to try to keep you awake. Amen, Pastor Weiss. So Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Deuteronomy 5, 6 through 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. From the house of bondage, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath, that's in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the, this can go on for a while, third and fourth generation. Now, again, I pause you real quick. I could take everything too far. You know that humans do that. We do the minimum. I was talking to Adrian about this a little bit ago. We do the minimum of what we're supposed to do. You know, God says pray 5 minutes a day in the Bible, which he never really says that. But if God did, right, pray 5 minutes a day, people would pray 5 minutes and 5 seconds. I know people. That's just the way they work. So we do the minimum. But often we take other things to extremes. Like, okay, I stubbed my toe last night. So God, what did Grandpa do to make me stub my toe today? Okay, humans go a little nuts. Sometimes you can stub your toe because you're a human and you tripped. Okay, that just happens. And I'm not saying God doesn't work all things together for good. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that God's not in control of all things. I believe that he is. But I believe we take things in a hyper way, hyper sovereignty of God, for example, I mentioned in the last message, a hyperactive why every single time. Why is the sky blue? Why are the chairs blue? Why is the ceiling white? Why do the lights turn on the way that? Why are the lights warm? Why is this pulpit brown? People have questions. You can ask why and drive yourself crazy. I'm not telling you to do that. But we're also kind of dumb if we can see God trying to get our attention and we don't ask why. This last week, I read, for example, it's not just here, it's not just here. This last week, I read Numbers 22. Anybody know what's in Numbers 22? At the very end of Numbers, they've wandered for 40 years, almost everybody's dead. Numbers 22, a guy named Balak is hired by a guy named Balaam. And Balak hires, did I get that right? Balak hires, I got it backwards. Balak hires Balaam to come and curse the children of Israel. And you remember Balaam is excited about going. He really wants to go. And as soon as he has an opportunity and God opens the door like a little puppy shooting out the door, he shoots out the door to go and he's on his way. And God's mad at him because he's not slowing down. That's a lesson in itself for a Weiss, slow down. But having said that, okay, so on the way there, do you know the story? Before the donkey talks, what happens with the donkey? It goes out of the way in the field. Why'd that happen? Doesn't ask the question why. He just smacks the donkey. The donkey smacks his leg into the wall is the next thing. He doesn't ask why. He just smacks the donkey. On the way a little bit further, the donkey can see an angel standing in front of the donkey on the path and there's no way to go. The donkey sits down. He doesn't ask why. He just starts smacking the donkey. Are you asking why, or are you just smacking the donkey? The Bible's filled with things that happen because. It's not every single stubbed toe. By the way, I know this. I also know this. It's just true. First, 2 Timothy, it's in Timothy. Paul tells Timothy, I remember, again, this is random, not in my notes, totally free. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer, you know the rest of it? Persecution. Are you with me? Yep. Hello? Amen. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. John 16, 33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. There's plenty of Bible that tells me that Christians go through tough things and you're going to suffer persecution and sometimes things go wrong and sometimes, yes, sometimes I'm actually persecuted because I did the right thing. That'll be the next message. But sometimes in this message, stuff goes wrong, there's a reason why. By the way, keep your finger in the Old Testament unless you want to turn to 2 Samuel in just a bit, that's fine. But New Testament again, James, I think most of you know James. Maybe you've memorized it, maybe you've quoted it. I know I've said it to you in the past, James 1:5. But the whole context of that in James James chapter 1, the context of James 1:5, asking God for wisdom. This is what we're talking about praying about why. James chapter 1 and verse 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, written to brothers in Christ, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work in you, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God is doing something through those manifold or diverse temptations. Now, in its context, verse 5, why ask for wisdom? For what? To know why. Why is this happening? Why the diverse temptations? What are you trying to teach me, God? Do I need stronger faith? Do I need better patience? Do I need, well, yeah, I probably need all of that. I'm not perfect yet? Okay, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, if any of you lack wisdom, that's the context. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Does God want you to know why? Listen, of course, if he's trying to teach you a lesson, and that's why something tough is happening, he wants you to know why. But ladies and gentlemen, he wants you to do more than just holler to your wife or your husband or your kids or your neighbor, why is this happening to me? Or to holler at the pastor, pastor, this is what happened this last week. Why? Why does bad stuff always happen to me? Not that any Christian would ever say that, right? Here's a novel idea. How about pray about it? Do you realize that the pastor probably has no idea why you're going through what you go through? He probably has no idea what you're going through. Now, listen, I'm not telling you to not ask, because it's very possible that he could see a beam in your eye that you can't see. The Lord does that. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye? And you got a beam in your own eye. We can see a beam in somebody else's eye sometimes. So, okay, sometimes you're a fool if you don't ask another human. You know, at Peter Kutsky, so would you pray with me about this? You know, ask the Lord. And if you see something in me that's not right, because I want to be right with God, Peter, feel free to tell me. Do I get too angry or what? Ask another brother that you can trust. That's a great thing. I say that because Peter I can trust. I've told Peter things, and I've prayed with Peter over things for years. Peter never shared that personal stuff with somebody else. It never came back to bite me. Good friend, thank you very much for doing that. That's what we pray for each other. We do that. But sometimes another human really doesn't know why. There's only one that does. It's God. Like this, in David's case back there. How does this apply to David and Israel and the Gibeonites? Do you know who knows why this is happening? God. Samuel's not alive anymore. There is a priest that's alive during David's day, but the priest doesn't really know. David's wife doesn't know. So the priest would be like the comparison of the pastor. The pastor doesn't know. He's got to go to God. Back in 2 Samuel, only God really knows why. And by the way, it's something that happened years earlier. By the way, I'm going to give you this too. Go back with me quickly to Joshua, because I'm hoping, as you turn back to Joshua now, I'm hoping that God would speak to you about 1,000 things, not just what I'm actually physically saying. Maybe something in between the lines. Maybe something I would make an offhanded comment that I didn't even realize I was making, and the Holy Spirit would speak to you about something else. And he's trying to tell you why, because manifold temptations, diverse temptations, count it all joy, because the Lord is working patience in all this stuff in your life. But now, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and it braideth not, it shall be given him. God wants you to know why. If he wants to bring the lesson in your life to help you, the best help you can get is to figure out why. Is it maybe that, you know, something changes in your life then? Something changes in your circumstance, changes in your life, changes in your church, changes in your family. Would there be something that he would want to change in our family? Probably. Is it something he wants to change in me and my attitude? Probably. And you and your attitude too. Of course, we're humans. But we're fools if we don't ask why. So back in Judges, this is part of the reason why. How does this apply to David, Israel, and the Gibeonites? Joshua chapter 9. And by the way, you don't have to like this. It's just true. And God didn't ask you to approve of his method. I don't think they should have to kill anybody. I don't think that this should have happened. I think the Gibeonites were liars. And if they lie, I don't have to keep my commitment. Okay, so here's some liars that they had a commitment made to them, and God still expected Israel to keep their commitment, even with the liars. You know, for example, I don't know how this applies to you. You buy a car and the salesman lied to you, and now you're just not going to make the payments. This stuff applies in our life. Okay, somebody else lied. They didn't do their job. God still expects us to do ours. And then if I cheat somebody else because I was cheated, then, Lord, why is this happening? Yeah, good question. So back in Joshua chapter 9 and verses 12 to 19, Joshua chapter 9, verses 12 to 19, these liars say, the Gibeonites, this our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it's dry and it's moldy. These bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals, and guess what? They didn't ask. Oh, they didn't pray? They didn't even pray for wisdom. Maybe God had this whole thing happen because they were dumb enough to not pray to start with. Are you guys even following me? This is what happens. Okay, well, but that's not right. Yeah, but you didn't pray to start with. So anyway, the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them, we will not kill you. And it goes on with that we will not kill you thing. But the problem is, as it says back in 2 Samuel chapter 21, go back there. 2 Samuel chapter 21, in verse number 2, it says, verse 1 was, again, there's famine in the land. David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, it's because of Saul and his bloody house. That's the one that God blamed. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but the remnant of the Amorites, the children of Israel, here's the trick, had sworn unto them, I promise I will, and sought Saul, yeah, but David's not responsible. That's not my fault. Saul sought to slay them in his zeal for the children of Israel and Judah. Yeah, but God, they're liars. You know what? I don't know all the answers for every reason why God does what he does, but I know that sometimes something that happened in the past, a vow that was made, something that was promised to God, something that, okay, was promised to another human, but you put God's name on it, we swear by the name of the Lord. That's what happened here. That could be the reason why this is happening today. So again, 1,000 applications we could make. I don't know what's happening in your heart, what you told God, but I want you to think about this. If you made a vow 20 years ago, does God remember? Is it possible he'd hold you accountable for a vow you made 20 years ago? And he expects you to keep that vow. Yeah, but I didn't know when I made that vow I was going to be mistreated or lied to. I know, join the club. But I, you know, think about this way, okay, Christian, Christ-like. Christ made a vow to go and die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. Was he abused? Was he lied to? Was he accused? Was he spit on? Was he mistreated? Oh, but he kept his end of the deal. You know what the truth is? He promised to save me. And I've not always treated him right. I'm glad he's keeping his end of the deal. Amen. Man. I don't know. So I don't know if you told the Lord you would. If a vow was made, if it's something that you weren't even part of, but it happened in the past, I don't know the answer to it, but man, I would say to you, if you have the mud touch, if things are going wrong, if you're just not being blessed, if there's something going on, if you've got questions as to why, God, why is all this stuff happening. All right, ask another human for prayer. Maybe ask somebody else's vite. Do you see a big beam in my eye? Is there something that I'm not, you know, doing right? And maybe that, maybe the pastor would have a right. Maybe the pastor would have the right to ask you. Let's do the basics. Let's do the basics. Are you faithful in your church attendance? Are you faithful reading the Bible? Do you read your Bible on a regular basis? Are you spending some time in prayer? You know, is there filthy stuff in your life? You know, you're what I had a guy that I was counseling a number of years ago, not from here, actually up in Reedsburg. He had severe anxiety issues, which a lot of people in Reedsburg do. It seems to be in the county. This guy had times where he couldn't get out of bed. So talking to him about things, he just could not get out of bed and why. In talking to him for a bit, okay, what kind of movies do you watch? Tell me about your favorite movies. My favorite movies are horror movies. I still remember the first horror movie that I watched. It's, you know, bloody and blah, blah, blah. Okay, you're having fear issues. I wonder if that has anything to do with the movies you watch. You know, some of that stuff is kind of obvious, but humans are amazing, though. It couldn't be me. It couldn't be something I'm doing. It's got to be something somebody else did 20 years ago. Okay, but whether it's you, whether it's them, whether it's Jonathan, whether it's Saul, guess who has to fix it in his lifetime, or just let it go and let the famine continue? I tell you what, David's at least wise enough to ask why. David's at least wise enough to ask why. And that's extremely important. I'm proud of David for doing that. And then it says, after David went through the process, now when it's all done, this is important, I'm stopping on purpose. The famine didn't stop when he prayed. The famine didn't stop when he asked. The famine didn't stop when everybody was dead. And I'm not telling you to kill anybody this morning. Don't, you know, again, you can take all this stuff too far. But the famine stopped when David finished the entire process, buried all their bones, and it was all done. So it's possible that there's something that was vowed years ago. He actually wants you to go through the process of making that right. Maybe the name of God was damaged by something that he wants that to be made right. Because that's why I read to you verse number 14, 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse number 14, the bones of Saul, the Jonathan, buried there in the country of Benjamin, in Zelah, the sepulcher of Kish's father. They performed all that the king commanded, and after that, God was entreated for the land. Again, I want you to know, and it, you know, I know this is Old Testament too, but again, New Testament James, when you fall into diverse temptations, he's working patience and faith and all this stuff, but if you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give it liberally and upbraid not. It shall be given. He wants you to know. Why is that happening in your life? What's going on? Stop just being oblivious and like a bull going forward and claiming it's faith. Slow down and ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything we're missing? Is there some reason for this? Now, the next message will be, sometimes it's just because, and again, it's not the whole thing, but in it will be Peter. Sometimes you're buffeted because you're a Christian. I get that. And that does happen. But this is a better place to start. And by the way, I really do believe this with all my heart. I believe that a good prayer revival starts with self-examination. A good prayer revival starts with self-examination. You know why? Psalm 66. Go with me, if you would please, to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Psalms are great. There's so many things in the Psalms. You guys all know Psalm 23, I'd be willing to bet. Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 22, the one that precedes that. I always love the fact that God put 22 right before 23, because the shepherd that gives his life for the sheep is described in 22 as, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? They pierce my hands and my feet. I may see all my bones. They stare. Amazing stuff. And then Psalm 23, this is the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep so he can be with you in the valley of the shadow of death. The way the Lord fits that stuff together is beautiful. But Psalm 66. In Psalm 66, look with me, if you would please, at verse 16. Verse 16. This is somebody who's not cursed. He's actually praising the Lord for the good things that have happened. Psalm 66:16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Here's some prayer. I cried unto him with my mouth. He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. So therefore, he's not regarding iniquity in his heart, right? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But God, verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So, man, if I got some beam in my eye, if I got something that I'm doing wrong, I really want to know. And by the way, if that happened to, okay, David, but it wasn't just David, it was all Israel, and everybody was affected by that. Let's move on to the next thing. The first actual thing that I gave you was God cares about history, but that's what happened there. David, how does that apply to David and Israel and who was affected and the Gibeonites? Okay, that had to be dealt with. How about let's do this next? Madison Baptist. What about here as a church? I'd be willing to bet your pastor would like revival in the church. Excitement, the fire of God to fall, the passion of the Holy Spirit being on fire for God. I'd be willing to bet every pastor that I know would love to have that in a church where everybody's on fire and it's renewed excitement. And rather than the church feeling like you got to walk on eggshells, you feel like you're walking on the clouds. It's, you come in there, you can't wait to get to church and everybody's excited. Man, you just feel the Holy Spirit moving. Every pastor I know wants that. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I'm not right with God, if we have things that are wrong, some things before us, some things that we're doing now, would that not just affect me? But that was just Saul. And by the way, those guys lied. I know. Maybe God expects somebody to get that right so that everybody can be blessed. Everybody can be blessed. As long as you're in Psalms, look with me at real close by. Look at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 26. Verses 1 through 3. Proverbs 26, verses 1 through 3. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 1 through 3. As snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. There's a reason to put this stuff in this segment. It's like, you know, certain things God just will not give to a fool. Well, I got to tell you, then I don't want to be a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. What would that have to do with a fool? If somebody's being foolish and God's, there's a curse that follows. Okay, the curse causeless shall not come. And here's another thing about a fool. It takes a whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, a dumb donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. I got to tell you, I don't want to be a fool, and I don't want to have curses in my life. I don't want to have things going wrong where I got the mud touch and stuff doesn't just go wrong. I mean, as a, again, a pastor, because I am one, you guys know that. I know a lot of pastors. I actually deal with a lot of pastors. I get phone calls from pastors, and I have pastors ask me why. It doesn't matter what we do in our church. It just doesn't work. Guess who I point them to? Look, you got to get a hold of God. You got to figure out why that church isn't just turning the corner. Why aren't people getting saved? Why are the waters of baptism not being stirred? Why do hearts just sit there stubbornly and stare back at you while you're preaching and they don't get right with God? Would God do that and affect a whole group? I could see it. I can give you a reason why God would affect an entire group, hoping that maybe somebody in the whole group would ask why. So maybe it isn't just the leader. Maybe he wants everybody to ask why. And now as I think through the history and the way God works with people, maybe everybody should be asking why. Lord, is that me? Is that something I've done? What, the things that I'm doing at home, is it possible they would affect the Holy Spirit's working on a Sunday? Maybe I grieve the Holy Spirit, but what I do, and then I bring my body in, and the Holy Spirit's grieved, and others around me can't hear from God. Is that possible? Why would God deal in the New Testament? Oh, Pastor Weiss, that's Old Testament stuff. God doesn't deal that way anymore. Ever heard of Ananias and Sapphira? Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, I mean, they're lying. You've grieved the Holy Spirit. Hey, Ananias, hey, Sapphira, what's going on here? How has Satan filled your heart to do that? The Holy Spirit's grieved by what you're doing. So the whole group can be affected. And if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Holy Spirit will be grieved. Other people be affected. Man, I really want to figure out why. And again, I am not trying to make you feel horribly guilty like you're the only one and let's just all grovel before God. We're such losers. It's just like I told you in the first message. I really believe the Lord told the disciples to pray because he wanted to help them. Pray that you enter not in temptation. But pray, get close to God. I believe the Lord has brought me here to preach this, and I don't even know what's going on. By the way, if there is something going on at Madison Baptist or whatever, I don't know about it because your pastor has said nothing to me. From what I understand, there's not one thing been wrong for the last 12 years. I've been wondering how you do it. Because he's not complaining to me about you. But I know this with church, troubles come and go. They just do. Every church I've ever been in, sometimes people get upset with each other. Sometimes there's just a drought spiritually. There's a drought physically. Sometimes there's a drought spiritually. You remember those words in the Old Testament that there would be a famine, not a famine of bread, but a famine of hearing the word. So sometimes there's a famine. Sometimes you can't even, I don't really get it. By the way, I've thought about this. I've heard people say before, I'm going to that church and I'm just not being fed. Well, I happen to know the pastor. He's given the word. How come you're not being fed? Maybe the people aren't being fed because they're not able to eat. They have no appetite. To the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. That's not Socrates. That's Bible. To the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet, but the full soul loatheth even an honeycomb. You can give them everything about it, and honey with it. And the full soul's like, nah, that's boring. That pastor's boring. I got nothing. How come? If you're hungry enough. So I don't know the reason. And I know what happened with hindsight thousands of years ago. Wow, God showed us. David, why did this famine happen? What's going on there? He asked why. God showed him. I don't know what's happening. The church as a whole? Are you getting the things that you want? Are your kids getting the things that you want? Are you getting what you need from the church? Is everybody excited to serve God? Is there a famine of any kind? Wouldn't it be wise to ask why? And then how does this apply personally? Well, that's where it starts with an individual. Lastly, go back with me to Psalm 19, individual. We're going to look at some New Testament stuff. I promise you I will. I probably say that more now than I ever did before because when I moved to Reedsburg, I ran into a number of people that didn't like all my Old Testament usage. They said, I'm a New Testament Christian. I said, do you have any idea what the New Testament's based on?
Right, amen.
How in the world would you know if you hadn't read that thing? Now you read that thing and realize Jesus fulfilled it all. I'm glad you guys understand that, but Psalm 19, verses 12 to 14. These words are great. Great. They're all great. Not trying to insult God's word. They're all great. But when it comes to self-examination and prayer revival, this is very appropriate. So we're thinking about why. This is part one, praying about why. David and the Gibeonites was the example. There's application for the church where it could affect everybody. There's application personally. That's the last thing. Personally, personal application, how this applies to you personally. Psalm 19, verse 12, who can understand his? As in, I think the implication is his own. I can understand Kohan's errors. That's not a problem, right? It doesn't even say that. Who can understand Kohan's errors? Well, we pass out a piece of paper. Tell me all Eric's problems. That's easy, but his own. I'm glad you guys can still laugh some. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me. Let it start with me. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. You know, sins that you are committing, but you don't think you are because you're sure you're right. That's the way I would look at that. You just presume to do the right thing you think you're right. Keep thy servant back from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, and not just the stuff that comes out of my mouth, but you know what's worse yet? The stupid stuff that's in my head. Blech. Anybody be honest with me and say, blech. I don't like the stuff that's in my head. I'm glad 99% of it doesn't come out. But I want even my heart to be better, not just my mouth. I want my mouth to be better. Man, I want my heart to be better. Lord, I'm sorry I even thought that. I had a dream a couple of weeks ago that disgusted me when I woke up. Like, where in the world does that filthy garbage come from? Yuck. Lord, I can't believe that my brain is even capable of thinking sick things like that. And the Lord says, oh, you're capable, all right. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, not in Pastor Mike's sight or Eric Cohan's sight or Peter Kutsky's sight or anybody else's sight. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Lord, I cannot see myself. I don't know why all the stuff. I don't know the junk that's in my head. I can't see the beam that's in my eye. I don't know why all of the stuff. Why is something happening in my life? Why is this not working out? Now look, we're going to get to, again, sometimes it's because you're doing right and you're persecuted for doing right. That's true. But let's be honest, that's not always the case. As a matter of fact, most of the time it's not. I mean, I wonder if I did anything wrong. What a dumb question. Of course I did something wrong. To err is human, to forgive is divine. Even poets know that kind of stuff. I mean, the Bible even more so. Who can understand his errors? Lord, if there's something going on in my life, it's a spiritual drought. I don't feel like maybe this is you. You just feel like you can't hear God. Why? It's not the preacher's fault. It's not the Bible's fault. And not everything is your mate's fault. And by the way, I want to tell you this, it's not my fault. It's not because I left. God hasn't left. God's still here. Absolutely, I know that. And I've heard God speak through your preacher. And I don't know what's in anybody's head, but there's 1,000 excuses we use, but very few people will say, you know, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, Lord, I'm the one. Lord, show me. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Because the truth is, I should be able to go off into a desert all by myself and have God with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll feel no evil, for thou art with me, God with me. Is God with you in a real way? Is there anything more you would like or should have from your relationship with God? Is there a drought of any kind? Is there something you're missing? Something going on in your life? Stuff that's not working out right? Let me encourage you to be wise enough to ask why. And I believe if any of you lack wisdom in all of these trials, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. He'll give it liberally. That's what he promised. Let's have a final word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the opportunity for us to go through these things today. I believe we have much prayer time yet in this day. Not only time to pray, we're going to try to spend some time together doing that very thing. And Father, I pray that you would help us to pray appropriately. And I realize in a group setting like this, there are certain things that probably shouldn't be said in front of other people. But Lord, as honest as we can be with each other, mostly in our heart, honest completely with you, Lord, show us who we are, what we need, what you're wanting to do in our life, what you're trying to teach us. Show us, all of us, show me. Father, please speak. Bless this place. Bless this meeting. You've blessed it for years. Bless it again this weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.